everyone, and welcome to episode 124 of the Holding Court podcast. Today, we're wrapping up spring training and recapping my 7th year participating in LA Marathon weekend. And we'll chat about a special announcement that we just made. All coming up right now on Holding Court.
Boom. Bum 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 bum
bum. You would think year four I would figure out my setup, but I'm over here tinkering. I wish you could see. There's a stack of books, two canisters of vitamins, and my laptop. It's very official. It's like the people that don't wear pants on the news. That's me. I'm a fraud.
Your roadie's running around the house trying to find stuff to stack up for you.
I know. And I'm weird about height and where I want to be. And I wish the mic was almost like in a radio booth.
Like I wish it was like connected in the ceiling.
You know, yeah.
Like
came down, I need to like have like the, right there, like then, the CB radio with yeah. the truck drivers.
Breaker 1-9.
Where you just pull it down. That's what I need.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
It is hot in the studio today. Let me tell you.
Is
that.
It?
Yes.
Well, I think Bikram
like
podcasting. I'm like, are you going to make it?
I don't know. All right.
Are you sweating because you're nervous?
No, I don't think so.
I don't make you nervous. We're past that.
I get excited to do these. I don't get nervous.
Really? I still get nervous. I know. But we all know that. That is right. No secret.
Well, you're good.
Yeah. Well, I have returned from my 7th LA Marathon weekend.
I can't believe you've done 7.
And I know. It was interesting because the first year, 2018, I think it was, I did the half marathon. We all know that story of how I got bullied into doing that through my fundraising. And then 5 years of the full LA Marathon, and this year dropped down to the half marathon. And I think this is going to have to go in tandem with our big announcement that we made. I don't know how we talk about one without the other, right?
Well, yeah. I mean.
Well, I have to ask you about all your concerns or your hopes and dreams for me when I was back in LA for race weekend. So.
I was very nervous.
Here's my pet peeve, though, and I don't know if we've actually talked about this because we obviously haven't really spoke about the announcement. Are you a we're pregnant person? Spoiler alert, I am pregnant. But are you a, if you're telling someone, you better not be the we're pregnant, right?
No.
Are you a quartz?
Court's pregnant. I don't think I've said we're pregnant once.
I really buried the lead there. Did you like how I just slid that in there?
I know. I thought this was the end of the show. We're going right to it. Well, I think I've only said Court's pregnant. Or we are going to have a baby. See, Is that wrong too?
I don't know. I just always like giggle at the we're pregnant couples. Because not that I'm the one that's like, I'm doing all of this. Like obviously there's shared, I mean, I'm doing a lot of it, but there's shared experiences and shared, right. It's a shared experience, I will say, although my body is doing the bulk of it right now. I don't know what it is. The we are pregnant always just is interesting to me. So I was just curious.
Yeah, I'm not advocate for the we. I do not have a mouse in my pocket, so you know.
Well, you know how I feel when people say that in sports, so I just wanted to make sure that it
in sports. I hate it in sports.
That it made its way over here. Right. Okay, just checking. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, you can tell I'm a very, like, big announcement girl, right?
Oh, my gosh.
No, but going to the half marathon, so obviously I still participated in the weekend, still fundraised. Our team crushed it. We had a small but mighty team this year, but we raised over, I want to say close to $32,000 for the Justin Turner Foundation. Really, really cool. There is, I love that, fist bumping. from over the table.
If I was the producer, I'd be hitting some sound effects right now.
I have them over here. I just, they're not labeled, and I'm afraid I'm going to hit like the wah wah or like the crickets one.
Let's find out. What's your best guess? Go.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
You want me to do a random one?
Yeah. Fine. See if you got it.
I'm done. I need a Sharpie them. I need to label them. You can't do that. I did not know that that was the womp womp.
We're going to try that one more time at the end of this podcast and see if you can get a happy one.
They should be labeled or have like little faces on them. Some of them are crickets. Well, there's a dun-dun.
Why don't you email the producer, okay?
One of them is our intro song, which is very convenient.
Well, we just never miss that one, okay?
It's also, well, I know.
It's also the outro song.
Intro, outro. It's a big red button and I just press it, start, stop. But
I can't believe you picked that one.
I can. I just knew it. That's why I didn't want to do it. No, really proud of our team. Shout out to Chevy, who was our top fundraiser. Well, aside from me, but I have a little pull in the organization here. But she absolutely crushed it. And no, it's funny.
Chevy crushed it.
She is a big supporter, big listener. And she, in the beginning, was like, I'm going to do the 5K. I'm a fundraise. But I need help. I don't know how to fundraise. And then she just took off running. She's like, I don't do social media.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And just really ran away with it. So thank you to all of our runners. It was really, really good weekend. It was good to see people out there. For me, I don't know. I'm always encouraging people to sign up for a race. And for me, doing it for the foundation is my reason. And I feel like everyone has to have their reason. I bless the runners that just love to run and do it because they're naturally talented or they're fast or they just wake up and love running. But I want people to do it and find a reason, because I think that's why I keep going back to it. Obviously, the foundation is such a huge part of it, but it's just that feeling. And even getting there and getting to the starting line and being back, because this was the first time in 6 years that I was at the starting line for the Charity Challenge half. So it used to be you could just do the half marathon. Now you have to run for one of the charities to do the half marathon. So it is a totally different feeling. Starting, the regular marathon starts at, I think, 7 a.m. it is. And then the Charity Challenge starts at 8:15. So everyone is lined up and everyone's out there from, I think they have 30 plus different organizations now that you can fundraise for. And it is just, it's very emotional. I'm not an emotional person, but starting the race this year and knowing that everyone was in that cluster and that group going out on the course, running for something bigger, I think is just a really, really cool feeling. So I'm always encouraging people to just try it. And people say, oh, I can never do it. There's people that power walk the whole dang thing. So if you are thinking about it, you're on the fence, start with a 5K, start with a mile walk, whatever, you definitely can do it. And I don't think, I mean, maybe there's some people at the finish line that regret it, but I think reflecting back, I don't think anyone really ever regrets it, especially running for a bigger cause.
How many people do you think were at the start line for the charity? I've never been at the start line for the charity. I've started the main marathon, which is nuts. I mean, like 25, 30,000 people coming down, and it literally feels like 40 straight minutes of people just like running past me.
So I know the entire field for LA Marathon Day, I think, is around 27,000.
Okay.
So
you think like 3,000-4,000 people do the charity?
Yeah, several thousand. And then there's also people that do the full marathon for charity too. And then people do the 5K for charity. So a lot of people are sprinkled in there that are obviously fundraising, but
it's still a good group of people there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That the juices are flowing and there's kind of like flowing. That adrenaline rush at the start line.
Yeah. And that's cool. And again, like everyone has their reason, like I said, and you know, for that it's to raise money, but it is really cool. And I think if you're on social media, you start to get fed videos based on kind of what your interests are. And I see all these videos of people that are doing their first race or training for their first 5K. And it's really, really cool for people to see people take that step. And whether it's for weight loss or mental health or for running for a charity or something, it's really, really, really cool to just see and to know that you're out on the course with a mix of people that are running for their reason. I think is why I would recommend it for sure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, for you to be doing this now for your seventh year, I think it could be kind of overlooked the impact and the influence that you have on people and your story of going out and doing it and being able to do it. And some of the things you do throughout the year and like the little challenges you do on social media. I think we were talking about it today and it's funny. You just brought up Chevy and how great she did fundraising for us, but you did last year, you did like a social media challenge for walk a mile a day for an entire month. And
she actually, her.
I don't want to steal your story. I thought that was so cool. And then she ends up, you know, doing the 5K for the foundation and raising a bunch of money. But like, I think it's overlooked, you know, the fact that you go out and do this. And I think you inspire a lot of people because, you know, you're not a runner. You didn't come from a running background, but you still are out there running for a bigger purpose than yourself. And you pushed your boundaries and your limits to something that you probably never thought you would ever be able to do in a million years. And to hear all the feedback that we get through the foundation of people who are going out and running 5Ks or walking a mile every day or doing their first half marathon, or even some runners who are going out and doing their first full marathon. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because, you know, 7 years ago, you decided, not saying that they wouldn't have ever done it in their life, but 7 years ago, you decided to do this half marathon for the foundation. And, you know, all the people that you've kind of inspired along the way to, you know, get out and believe that they can do something that they never thought they can do is really cool. So kudos to you.
Thanks, babe. Yeah, you don't really realize it when you're doing it. And yeah, I posted, I think it was last summer, I did a mile a day challenge just saying, hey, get up, go walk a mile. And a lot of people, I guess, have kept doing it, which is really, really cool. There's people that their first 5K ever was one of our Turner Trots. And then my friend Nick, one of my first friends in LA, just did his first marathon. He's like, you kept posting about it every year. And I thought, okay, I'm getting close to 50. I'm going to try to do this. And he absolutely crushed it in like 4 hours. I'm like, well, you weren't supposed to like make me look bad. But yeah, it's just little things along the way. And I guess that's the cool part of social media that you should celebrate, because there's a lot of bad stuff online, but there are positives that can come out of it, believe it or not.
Is it inspirational that people are saying, if Courtney can do this, then I can do this? Or is that kind 100%, of
100%? That's my whole platform, baby, is the relatable runner.
That's
if
right.
I can do this, you definitely can. And especially doing it this year. And I know a lot of people were very concerned, and I got introduced kind of to my first people inserting themselves into my pregnancy and health journey on social media. But a lot of people were very concerned when they saw our announcement and then they saw I was still participating in the half marathon. I was fine. It was obviously cleared by my doctor. I obviously have stayed active. Thankfully, I've been able to. And
thanks to Rigby and Mooney, you've been very active
doing my trots. But obviously, at the end of the day, it was important for me to do this for the foundation, but not putting myself in at any sort of risk. So it was going to be very much like, listen to your body. And if at any point leading up to the race or race day during the race, anything that something wasn't right or didn't feel right, or I was a little anxious about it, I would not have done it. So other than the Charlie horse cramp that woke me up at 4:20 on race day with my alarm set at 4:30, I had a very, and I was like, is this a sign that I should not be doing this? But that went away and I did not tear my calf, contrary to what it felt like when I got it. But it was really cool and it was good timing. Like, we just announced the day before. So it was like very like time of celebration. And then a lot of people were like white gloves with me. Like, are you okay? Do you need anything? Are you good? I'm like, I got this. I did a nice run walk combo. Actually felt really good. I thought as like my safety net, I was like, I'm just going to walk the whole thing, because the way that it's timed is the full marathon starts and they go run downtown. So they run about 5 miles ish. And then you kind of merge together. Almost going through Hollywood, and then you finish, and then they full marathoners continue on and do another 8 miles. So you really can take it low and slow. Like, you're not starting way after them where you have to freak out and worry about the street sweepers. You can kind of just like take your time. So that was kind of my safety net and my comfort and what I could do.
You ended up meeting up with a lot of people who were running the full.
Yeah.
On the course. So I ended up seeing, saw a lot of your good friends and a lot of the ambassadors. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Gabe and Miori were out there, and Gabe was dealing with a little injury. And so they were kind of just going at our signature party pace. And then
party pace. I watched that reel. That was a real party pace. I think I watched them pound like 6 beers.
Yeah. They were on a different, they were running a very different race than I was.
Right.
Right when I actually met up with them, because I'm like, there's no way I catch them, because they were like a ways ahead. I think I had Miori's location, or she had mine or something. And she would kind of say like, okay, just hit mile 8, just hit mile 9, whatever. And when I met up with them, she had a Starbucks refresher. And I was like, well, no wonder I caught you. I thought I was like, wow, I'm cruising. And then she was just, but that honestly, like, that's kind of the cool part about it. Like, right. You can get out there and do it. And even if you're struggling a little bit, like, you can just have fun with it. And that's kind of what I took it for, was like, let's just enjoy this. And let's just have this be a celebration of the foundation and of me being able to do this. Like, right. Honestly, even aside from being pregnant, I just wake up every day and say, thank God I'm able to do this. And I can do it. So it's like, okay, let's just do it as like a little walking tour of LA and enjoy it. And I ended up running for quite a bit of it and felt really good, actually.
Well, I can't say it was completely stress-free for me, because obviously I knew you were there. I had my phone. I had your location. I was tracking you. I talked to you right before. I saw you kind of going along. But there was a point where your location stopped updating.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. So I was like texting our friend Mike, because he always meets you on the course around mile 5 or 6, and he didn't have service, so he wasn't responding.
I had no idea. You were concerned.
You were like, well, your little like icon on the map was stuck at like mile 5 or 6. And I was like, like, what is going on? Like, but
you
what's
didn't
happening?
Even, oh, like, but you didn't text me.
I was texting you. I was like, babe.
Oh, it just wasn't going through.
At the end
of
it, yeah. And it wasn't going through to your phone because you had no service. And then I finally got a hold of Mike, and he was like, she's done. We are at the finish line. She's trying to find her backpack that you checked in. Yeah. And I was like, okay, whew, like, she's there. She made it. Like, that's awesome. And then I was trying to text, you know, Brian and Melissa, and trying to see if I can help you flag down your backpack, but they didn't have service either. So
yeah,
they need some like cell phone tower boosters for the marathon, because I mean,
yeah, for whatever reason. And it was kind of the same case in Boston. I think just anytime you get that gathering of people,
yeah, I mean,
it's difficult. I mean, that'll happen at like Dodger Stadium. Right. That'll happen when we're at like Waste Management and we're trying to flag down a car, and you really have to just kind of like go. And that's what I did. I get into the finisher village and people are trying to meet up with their family members, and it's just, your phone is SOS. It's like, okay, perfect. So I just kind of kept walking and walking and trying to like break free. And then once we had like a ambassador, what was the McCourt Foundation, who puts on LA Marathon, had a like a finisher party for their VIP runners for the McCourt Foundation. And then the ambassadors were also lucky enough to get an invite to it at Eataly, which, what better than celebrate with a bunch of carbs after you finish the race. So I just kind of went there, and then I was able to pop on their Wi-Fi, and I was like, okay, phew. Now I can kind of do my check-in with everybody and let everyone know that I was good.
You were good. Usually you finish the race with a Bloody Mary, but obviously that's not an option this year. What were you craving?
Honestly, like, I wasn't, usually I dream of something the whole race, and it's normally like hot wings and a Bloody Mary or like a crisp glass of champagne, something like that. I didn't really have anything that was on my mind the whole time. Honestly, I was a little disappointed in the snacks on the course, because 2 years ago I was Whole30. So I couldn't just grab like the salt and vinegar chips, which I used to love grabbing, like that little boost of salt. There's normally like Sour Patch Kids, different things. I think 1 year Gabby was grabbing peanut butter and jelly, and along the course. And I really, there were like orange slices and red vines, which I'm not a red vine girl. I'm a Twizzler. Don't at me. But there was no like good snackies.
God, now I want a red vine.
And then I think towards the end of the race, like people have like, it's like the beer mile and like pizza slices and all that kind of stuff at the very end where it's just like, screw it. We got to get through this. Like grab whatever you can get. But I was kind of sad. I was like, bring on the snacks. I'm ready. And I'm glad I had a macro bar in my little belt pack. And that's all I had whole race.
You had to settle for a macro bar?
And I only ate, I would say like a little more than half of it. And yeah, they have electrolytes along the way on the course. And I mean, obviously just doing the half, it's only a couple of hours as opposed to like my normal 5 hours. But yeah, I had a half a macro bar and electrolytes. And that's all I had. So Eataly had the setup and I walk in and it's just a spread of dairy. Obviously it's like lasagna and pizza and Caesar salad.
Cheese on cheese.
Yeah.
Charcuterie.
And the full bar. Yeah. They had everything. And I see the chef and I was like, is anything non-dairy? And he was like, you want me to make you a pizza? And I was like, absolutely. So he makes me this, I would say like a little personal pan, but it was pretty sizable. And just did like marinara, garlic, basil, olive oil. And he was like, will that be okay? And I was like, that sounds more than okay. And then they had this like really good salad with like a vinaigrette on it. And I crushed that because when you're dehydrated, I feel like you want like fruit and greens and all that. And then they were sponsored by Heineken Zero. So I got to
pop the top of
a cold beer and it was actually really good.
That's right.
Like it was pretty tasty.
The old Heine Zero.
Heine Zero was there for me. I always see it. I've seen it in years past. I think they've been a partner for a couple of years and I've been like, and now I'm like, okay, give me that.
Man,
I haven't really had a desire to drink, so it's obviously.
You're not a big drinker though, so.
No, but it was nice to like have a drink in celebration, a zero drink. No one yell at me on social media again.
Hardest thing so far to not have sushi.
Yeah, because I don't really, I mean, in terms of like thing, I don't know. I won't go down that road of things that people say you shouldn't have and you can't have, but I'm not going to fight that battle. Yeah.
Probably sushi. Yeah.
Sushi is probably the hardest. But even then, it's like you have it in Hawaii and it's fresh. And I think it's just the worry of like, you just have to make sure that everything is fresh, right? Because the concern is, I'm going down this road, I don't want to, but like the concern is like with produce, like you can get listeria and it's obviously they say like lettuce is like one of the worst things. So it's like, you're going to freak out about
lettuce,
sushi, which
and sushi.
What's wrong with sushi?
Yeah.
Stay away from lettuce.
Let's not go down that road.
I'm not going to go down it.
Sorry. I shouldn't ask that question. It wasn't on the docket.
No, but it was a good experience. Again, thanks to all the runners. And till next time, keep it going. I gotta stay with my running now. There was like points where I was like, am I like gonna pee myself? Like there was a thought, like, am I gonna have to pee like every mile, every 2 miles, every 3 miles, every 4 miles? I think I went to the bathroom once and that was it. And it was great. Porta potty. I was nervous about a bad porta potty. And I always have my little thing of like a wipe or like a hand sanitizer because that's my secret. If you're going into a really bad porta potty, you have to either sometimes they'll have the hand sanitizer in the porta potty and you can I'll squirt it into tissue and then I'll hold it to like near my face. So like that's the scent that I pick up. Which is obviously any other time, but then so you're now my
gagging,
smell.
You're gagging yourself with hand sanitizer instead of.
No, the scent you're picking up is like.
No,
the,
I know. Yeah, I got it.
I mean, consider the alternative, baby.
I've been in some nightmares.
But like race porta potties, they're not there for a casual tinkle. They're there for a lot of people's emergencies after they have pounded that morning.
If anyone has ever experienced a waste management porta potty.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This was bad because they had the flushable ones along the course, like where you pump the, there's like a little rubber.
The foot pedal.
foot pedal.
Yeah.
No one was foot pedaling. And so it was like, well, they were just throwing brown.
Cost time, babe.
They're
running a race.
They didn't want to work the calf. The brown paper towel, like people were just throwing it in there into the potty.
Yeah.
And so when you'd open the door, you'd see this like mound of brown and you're like, oh, heavens. But it was just paper
was
towel.
Was it Charles Barkley?
Yeah. The round mound of rebound. And I was like, oh gosh.
Wow. This was not on the bingo card.
No.
A 5-minute combo about porta potties.
No. Man. It was not good. But people were getting like that initial, oh my gosh. And it's like, oh, it's just paper towel. It was the round mound of rebound. But, I mean, is that where we ended? It did feel cool to finish, I will say. And my joke that I kept saying was that I did half and the babe did half. So I technically still keep my streak going of completing the full marathon.
And you got your medals.
I got my medal, but I didn't get all my different medals because I switched into the half. And I had all the like challenge medals I'm supposed to get. And I don't know what happened. I just like spaced and like didn't transfer the stickers over. And so I was supposed to get like 4 different medals for doing like the 5K and doing charity. Like I only got 1 medal, but
really
that had to be enough. Hmm. It's not why we do it.
That's true. But they're cool to have. And you have a lot of them.
I do.
Yeah.
Got to get them on my display that I got for Christmas, but with time.
With time.
Yeah. Well, shall we talk baby?
Have we not been talking baby?
Yeah, but like we can put the marathon to bed.
Yeah, the marathon was great. Let's, yes.
Talk about baby Turner.
Let's talk about this.
On little, its way.
Little baby.
Little peanut. Who would have thought?
Oh my goodness.
You know, it's funny. And it's, I don't know if it's just life or being a little bit older and, or being in baseball, but we are further along in our life than I feel like most people are when they start a family. And I don't know. It's just funny because there's always the people that are like, okay, you're going to have kids. And it really like never bothered me. And like nothing against the women or the people that are think that like or believe or are, I guess, put on this earth to have kids. Like some people when they're little are like, my sole mission in life is to have children and to be a mom and to raise a family. Like that is my true calling. Like that never, gonna sound bad, was just like never me. I never was like, oh my gosh, that is like all I need to do in my life. So it's definitely like, I think a lot of people are surprised by it, I would say. I don't know, would you agree with that sentiment that we kind of Frank Sinatra and did it our way and did it on our own timing? And I think at this point, like people gave up on asking because they're like, shit, they've been married for what, 6 years now? So
yeah,
they just left us alone and that was all we wanted. We're like, when you guys finally stop asking, that is when we will start to try to have children.
I think, yeah, we got asked a lot in our, 12-year relationship.
Yeah.
Whatever we've been in over and over again. But I've had friends that just were like, wow, I'm so surprised. Like it got to the point where I was even just uncomfortable asking because I thought maybe like you guys maybe couldn't have babies or I didn't know what you guys' plans were. Maybe you were just very anti kids. And this was Ike, by the way.
this was one person.
Well, he was just like, I was like uncomfortable and didn't even want to ask. I just didn't want to assume, you know, whatever. So,
yeah.
But no, we're doing it. So it wasn't
ready or not. No, it's funny. I think honestly, though, I don't want to like speak for you, but I think if I was ready to have children, like the first year we were together, you would have been like, let's roll, baby. I think I was the one that was a little like, okay, I'm going to take my time and do this. And I think over time you kind of took on my stance on it. And then you were like waiting in the wings, like just like tag me in. And that was kind of it. But then I think like looking at the whole thing, like I, like, you've had such a long career and obviously very grateful for that. But I think, again, I don't want to speak for other people, but I think you are such an involved person, and not to say like you're done playing by any means, or we're not going to like absolutely crush managing this and how we're going to balance everything. But I think over like the last decade plus that we've been together, if kids were in the picture, I might have like resented you. I might have like, you would have been sad that you missed out on a lot of things, and like just being like fully transparent. I think like kudos to the ones that have been doing it like since day one and like their guy's whole career. But I think for me, like I just loved going on that journey with you. There, like I loved being there with you. I love like the adventures that I went on. Not that I couldn't have had a sidekick or two on those adventures, but I think the way that we did it was the right timing for us, and you're laughing, but I don't know. No, that's just for me.
Like I'm not laughing at you. I totally agree. And it wasn't that we didn't have little sidekicks, because
that's true.
We had
Rig and Moo.
Our little Rig and Moo.
And Nuggie.
The whole way. But I think you're right. I think if, you know, early on you were like, hey, like, let's go, I would have been on board with that. But I wasn't like, I guess I was the same way. I didn't grow up like dreaming of a, you know, having seven kids and whatever, you know.
You
what
don't
I
want
mean?
To be a Duggar?
I obviously wanted, you know, to, you know, start our life together and be happy and do what we needed to do. And everything was going so good. Like everything was in such a good place, and we enjoyed our traveling and we enjoyed doing what we wanted to do. And maybe some people think we're selfish because, you know, we waited this long, but you know what? I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think I'm excited and I couldn't be more happy. And I can't wait to start this kind of next chapter and you know, see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's definitely shifting, I would say, overall in society. Like, obviously, I still get labeled like a high risk pregnancy at the doctor. I think anyone over like 30 something is, and they are kind of, I mean, my doctor is like, you're fine. There's no like added risk for you. You're perfectly healthy. But I think you definitely get treated a little differently, but it's shifting. And I think a lot more women and couples and people are deciding to kind of wait and not just jump into it. So I think, yeah, I don't think anyone should feel any pressure. Like, obviously, like, there's a lot of people that are going to be like, when are you having kids? When are you having kids? We're ready. But at the end of the day, it's about you. And I think that we definitely never, like, gave into that. Like, there were times when, like, you look at your career and you're like, oh, like, I feel like kids would have really, like, loved this. You know, like, there's right. So many things in baseball that are there for kids. You know, there's like the family day and the play dates. And like, even just the other day, they did an Easter egg hunt at the field. And you're like, okay, like kids would definitely like love this. But I feel like that's not a reason to have kids in baseball, just because you're like, oh, that'd be fun for them, you know, like,
right.
But now I guess we'll be a part of that.
And
we'll
I think it's easy to sit back and be like, oh, well, you know, if we did have kids, you know, 5 years ago, like, who knows, like, if I'm here right now, who knows if I'm still playing? Who knows if we accomplish the things that we accomplished? Who knows if the foundation is doing everything that the foundation's doing?
Yeah.
So there's just so many like what ifs and whatevers, and you know, I think
timing is always right.
This is our time now for it, and we're excited, and I can't wait to. For all this baby's little friends to be calling me grandpa when he gets older.
I always had, you know, it's like, it's really funny how life goes by so fast. And I say this, and obviously we're not like old, but you know, like by parent age, we're older. And I had older parents growing up, and I was always like, people always made comments like, oh, that's your grandpa. Like, cause my dad right. had like gray hair when he was really young. And my dad was 40, I want to say, when they had me. And I was like, oh, I'm always going to be, I'll be like a younger parent. Like, that won't happen to me. Like, here I am, yeah. Runs in the family. But I still feel young. I have my energy. I feel great. Like, if we want to touch on my experience so far. I don't want to brag. My grandma said never brag, but I feel really good. So far I feel young and spry.
Yeah. I think you had one day that wasn't great, right?
Yeah. I want to say it was
it's like Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah.
It was my birthday.
Yeah. I felt sick.
Might have been on my birthday.
Yeah. I felt sick one day and I was like, oh gosh, is this going to happen every single day? And thankfully it didn't. I was like, my smell has been really crazy, which I thought would contribute to like
really crazy.
Yeah. Like if you have something going like a block away, I can smell.
Yeah.
Like anything. And not just cigarette smoke or not just someone's barbecuing. Like I can tell you what cologne you're wearing across the baseball stadium. It's very intense. It is wild. It's like a superpower, I feel like. But other than that, obviously a little tired in the beginning, but now my energy is good and hopefully I can ride that wave a little bit. They say you get more tired towards the end, but I'm just focusing on feeling good right now. And
one day at a time.
Yeah. I don't want to say everything's going great because obviously I could feel different tomorrow, but feeling pretty good right now. Moving around.
And excited also to have a little Canadian baby.
Okay.
A dual citizen.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about that. So obviously you signing in another country it's funny because I always say this, I will never give my thoughts on where you sign. And I'm always just I will follow your lead. It is your career. If you ever ask my opinion on things, I will give it to you. But I think you can agree. I've never told you what to do or where to sign.
Right.
And obviously Toronto were on their radar and they were very interested and you were very interested and it was exciting, the team's exciting, good opportunity for you. And I think maybe a lot of wives would be no, we're not that will make it so difficult. Having a baby during the season in a different country just adds, obviously, right? A layer of complication, I guess, depending how you look at it.
Oh yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. So, definitely a thought, but it's something that honestly really hasn't freaked me out. I think a lot of people have had reactions to it. They're like, oh my gosh, wait, where are you having the baby? You're having the baby in LA? Are you having the baby where? And it's well, having the baby during the season. So obviously I'm going to have it where my husband and I live. So dual citizen Canadian baby. And people are like, oh my gosh, are you freaked? And it's I think it's going to be fine. I'm not the first. I won't be the last Blue Jays wife to have a baby in Toronto, in Canada. I think it'll be great. You always look at the schedule and see what road cities are around. I won't say which ones are around, but let's hope customs is a speedy process if you're not in Canada at the time. But yeah, obviously there's cities that would be more convenient, I think, obviously, but it'll be fine. It'll be good. It'll be an adventure. And I will say the Blue Jays have been amazing. And I think we talked about it last time in all aspects of everything and getting you acclimated, getting me acclimated, and even the other wives have already reached out and have offered their help. And, there's another wife that had a baby in Toronto last year and she's like, I'm going to give you all the steps to get the passport and get everything going and, getting set up and finding a doctor. Cause that's a big thing. Obviously I have my doctor in LA that I've had for years and years and years. And there's a comfort to that. But I think, I don't think that's even on my top stress list. I've kept it for a girl that's very anxious and a ball of stress and very high strung. I feel like I've kept it calm.
Your anxiety shows up in the weirdest places, in my opinion. No offense.
I should be absolutely freaked out over this, right?
And you were absolutely freaked out over getting on this
podcast. Yeah.
That's your podcast that you've done 140 episodes now.
But having a baby in another country.
Go to Canada and have a baby. You're it'll be a breeze. Let's do it.
I'm not the first or the last. Right. It's going to be great. I think everything's going to be wonderful and it'll all work out how it's supposed to work out.
I will say that that stuff too, like Canada, researching, finding your doctor, like figuring out how to do the passports and visas and all that stuff. Like that's like right up your alley though. I feel like that's like, you love doing that stuff.
Yeah. I love a good challenge and a research experience and an right. adventure, and it'll be good. Well, it's definitely a thought when you signed there, obviously, like, right. Oh, okay. That's a factor, but, yeah, not anything that was like a deterrent or anything like that. So I think it'll actually be kind of cool.
It was
definitely like telling the family, like, okay, make sure your passports are updated if you want to come visit. And it's wild. Like my hometown, obviously you grow up somewhere and you don't travel a lot. Like in the Midwest, like you hop in the car and like drive to an amusement park and that's your vacation, unless you're like the pinnacle of wealth. But it's really wild. Like my little hometown in Indiana is like a 6-hour drive to Toronto, which like, what? I could have went to Niagara Falls in an afternoon. But so it'll be nice. Obviously, your family's, what is it, 4.5-hour flight away? But I mean, it's
4.5 from LA.
They've been waiting a long time for grandchildren and great grandchildren. So I think the flights will be made. Well, I don't know if we're getting.
Well, that was another
flight. She might be waiting till the off season, but.
That was another hard part with our off season that we had and everything that was going on and not being able to get back to California until like the very end was like being able to tell my parents. And obviously it's something we wanted to do in person.
Yeah.
So we ended up like calling them and flying them out to the beginning of spring training to tell them in person. So,
yeah. And then everyone's like, you waited this long.
I know.
Yeah. I'm a little sneaky one. Yeah. It was weird, like not telling everyone for a while, but it was like, was oddly comforting to just have kind of our little secret and kind of live in our world for a while, for a couple months. And I don't know, like, obviously once people know, they're like, how did you not tell me? Like, how did I not know? And I'll save a funny story of a trip for next week and share it with everyone about like really our journey of hiding it. But yeah, we were able to tell because we were home in Indiana for a while. And then we went to Maui with my mom and my sister and obviously wanted to tell them in person. And then you're like traveling with people. You're like, okay, are they going to know? Are they going to
on a vacation?
Yeah. And so, you know, telling my mom and sister in person, then obviously wanting to tell your parents in person was important. But then after that, we're kind of like, okay, we can like live in the little family knowing world for a little bit and like right. telling my brother and your sister. And then it's like, okay, it's probably time to tell everyone before I go and do a half marathon.
You know what's crazy is the other day I had a baseball player, very popular baseball player.
No, nervous.
Congratulate me. Because he saw the news and he said, by the way, or I was telling him the whole thing. I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, we didn't tell anyone for a while. And he was like, hey man, my wife's 7 months pregnant. We haven't told anyone. And it's been fantastic. He's like, it's just our little secret. No one knows. It's just it's been so nice. And I was like, oh my gosh, like 7 months.
Like, you're like, well, actually now I know. So it's not really a secret.
But. Well, I was like, I'm like, oh my God, am I like the only person that knows now? You just confide this.
Are you going to tell me after we get off the podcast?
I don't know if I can.
What? Do I know this person?
You know who it is. Yeah.
Interesting. But. You are. I mean, I'm good at that too. If a girl's like, I'm pregnant or I'm this, like I don't tell. And then it'll be funny because once they announce it, I'll be like, oh babe, did you see like they posted? And you're like, oh yeah. Like the guy told me like 2 months ago. So I feel like we're both like vaults in that sense. Like if someone's like, don't say anything, then well, I like feel like we're pretty good at it.
Yeah. It's like our news to tell or their news to tell.
Yeah.
Right? Like
I'm good at that. Obviously I'm a vault. I'm a good secret person.
You're way more of a vault than I am.
a master creeper sneaker.
But I thought it was interesting that the comment he made. He's like, oh man, it's just been so nice and peaceful.
Well, like, after I got like freaking some weird, strange messages of people like telling me what I can and cannot do on social media, I was like, I don't feel so bad about not saying anything for a while because people just love to. Maybe I'll share some of these that I get, not to like mock, because I want to say that it comes from people like a place of like general, like they do care or they believe some of these things. Like a lot of things like are just people just, they come from, I don't know where they come from. Like a lot of things just seem far-fetched. There's a lot of things that they're like research and science backed of that, like you shouldn't do in certain like vitamins you shouldn't take and foods and all that. But then some people kind of like go a little sideways on things. Yeah. I want to say that they are rooted in like people genuinely like caring about you. And I will say like posting the announcement, a lot of people were very, very, very excited. And I don't think I expected like the level of like social media. I don't want to say strangers because I feel like we're all part of a nice social media family, but like people that were like, oh my God, I screamed. And like, I don't even know you guys. And like, that was definitely like, I felt like, oh my gosh, like, a lot of people genuinely care about us, but there are going to be a lot of the thoughts that I've already seen. I'm like, okay, I get why people don't say anything or they try to like just kind of keep it for themselves. Cause a lot of things, like a lot of these things that people will say to you will kind of add a lot of like fear, like a lot of like, oh shit. Like if someone's like, oh, by the way, that like food you've had every day for the last X amount of months, like you're not supposed to have that. And you're like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Right. Sort of thing. Like that can obviously cause a lot of anxiety, which you're trying to avoid. So anyway, sidetrack Sally, but yes, felt the love. And I understand also why people don't share it. I understand why people are bursting at the seams and share it like super early too. And they're very excited, but do it your way. Well,
Frank Sinatra.
I know, we're just franking it up. It is opening week, wrapping up spring training. So next week we'll have to get all of the scoop on your opening day here. It's kind of interesting. You open up in Tampa, which is
really weird,
like 30 minutes from spring training. Right. So we're kind of posting up here. This will possibly be the last weekend you see this stunning artwork behind me if you're on YouTube with us in our apartment here, but kind of convenient like to start here. It's weird to have like a long three city road trip. I feel like that's very rare. I don't know if you've ever started with a three city road trip. You guys go Tampa, Houston, and New York. At least you finish up like a 40 minute flight from Toronto. But
I think the weird part is like there's not really closure in spring training. Because we're literally just driving down the road.
I know. And that's like, honestly, like, I talked about my journey out to Florida to start spring training. It's kind of like my like rite of passage. And then I'll obviously be, no surprise there, driving from Florida to Toronto this week after the Tampa series and kind of doing that like transition to the season. Like you just kind of like roll into it.
Right.
And you guys have a workout, what, at the Trop, I think, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday's opening day. So it's really just like a, almost like a continuation spring and then like right into like flipping that switch. And it's interesting, like some teams have already like started playing real good. Like it's just wild. Like it's, you don't have that like, okay, let's go home, like get into the new facility and start the season. So it'll be interesting. It'll be good though to be back in the big top of the Trop. Haven't been there in
the Trop.
I'm trying to think when I went to Tampa, 2016 maybe.
Oh yeah, you didn't go to Tampa at all last year.
No, 2016 I think. So making a repeat visit.
It hasn't changed.
No, but at least you don't have to worry about rainouts.
They got new turf.
You don't have to worry about the heat.
They got new turf.
Okay, I'm excited.
Supposedly.
I'm ready to go. I'm excited to see it. So very grateful and thankful.
Yep.
You get to do this for another season.
I'm excited.
Keep it rocking and rolling.
Go Jays, go is the chant I heard.
I'll have to start it in my section. Yeah, well, that's going to do it for today's episode. A friendly reminder to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And like I mentioned before, we're now on YouTube, so you can watch all the fun of us doing the podcast. And also make sure you're leaving a comment on YouTube or you can rate us on Apple and Spotify. We love to read all of your reviews and love seeing all your feedback. And thanks for listening. And we will. Do you have anything to add?
No, we do love the reviews though.
We love them. We haven't had a review since August. So put them out there, people. I don't know if everyone's already reviewed and they're done, but maybe like give us a new review of like something fresh.
Right. And you posted the pictures from the DR from the last week's episode.
I did.
So they're on your holding court account on Instagram. If you want to go see a
flash,
a young Justin and Courtney at Moises Salou's house.
Yes. It'll all make sense.
Minutes before I blasted throw up all over his bathroom.
The marble bathroom. Yes. Go check him out. Well, thanks for listening. And we'll talk to y'all next week after opening day.
See ya.
Bye.
Bum 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 bum